Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Kuf Chof Tes. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous shiur, a phrase appeared with a double underline with dots in it, saying, Kishishimesh Maisa Eitz Shimesh. This phrase, in fact, gives rise to the upcoming sugya, our sugya for today, which we'll start 12 lines from the top of the page. You'll notice a triangle at the end of the line. We will be starting from Omar Abaye. Before we learn the Gemara, though, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading that appears in the outside margin. So let us glance there. First, we feature this double underline and indicated that it highlights the phrase Kishishimesh Maisa Eitz Shimesh. As we go on in the Gemara, we will notice triangles with colored in tips around the expression Hare Omru. What the Gemara does here is Dugmaos, it brings examples, Shel Oichlin, brings examples of food items, food substances, Shemetamin Tuma Chamura, that end up being responsible for Tuma Chamura. Tuma Chamura is a high level of Tuma, something that's capable of being Metama person or vessels. Vizu ma'ale t'miha. This idea that a food substance can result in a person becoming tamei is a source of wonder. Shehare yesh limud sheomer. We have a tradition or a result of a gzeres hakosuv sheomer that tells us sheoichlin enom metamen tumo chamura, that food substances cannot communicate or be responsible for a person becoming tome. Now, what will happen in the Gemara is this presentation or this story will repeat itself, as you can see, according to the triangles, around 5 times. Each time, the Gemara will give the same answer, and that's what we have tried to accomplish by the double underline with dots in it, namely that It may appear that it's a food item. However, the function, the role of the food item in each case is a non-food role, which is called a Maisa Eitz. And since it has a non-food role, it loses its food identity. And as such, then, we understand how the substance can be responsible for a person becoming Tomei. The first case, which Abaye introduces, involves the realm of Chometz on Pesach. The story that's featured here is a lump of sourdough called Seor, which as such is forbidden to have on Pesach. But a person had a large lump of sourdough that he designated to be used as a chair. The Halacha tells us that it loses its chometz status, and if a zav, a person who's tomei, there are 4 kinds of tumos that we call tumos ayotze migufan, tumos that come from a person's own body, as is the case of a zav, zova, nida, or mitzora. If they sit on something that's designed for sitting, a chair, a sofa, a bed, etc., the item becomes a medrash. A medrash is something that when these people sit on it, becomes tomei tumas medrash, and is able to be matama person. So what we have here is sourdough, that in the event that a zav were to sit on it, would make it into a medrash, And if a Tohor person comes into contact with that, he will become Tomei. Well, what are we seeing here? We're seeing a food substance being responsible for a person becoming Tomei. Abaye will tell us that the tuma of that person, it must be a rabbinic level tuma, because otherwise we would be describing food being mitama a person, and that can't be based on a gzeras hakosuf that we're not going to get into in the context of the shir, but Rashi gives more background to that. Turning now to the Gemara, Omra Abaye, Harei Omru, it has been said, Kupas Seor Sheyichado Liyeshiva Betela, a lump of sourdough that was designated for sitting. Betela means it loses its chometz status, and one is able to have it around, to have it and use it during Pesach. As such, it becomes a chair, a moshav, or a medras. Tum also lav doraisa, the tumah that it will communicate as a moshav hazav, as a seat for a zav, making it, this kupas seor, into a medras and tome tumas medras, that tumah is not of a Torah source, Torah origin. The isalka daitoch doraisa, if one were to think that this sourdough chair as a Moshev Hazav is communicating Tumah to the next person on a Torah level, then we will have described food as communicating Tumah Chamura, Tumah to Matama a person. The Gemara answers, not so. This chair will communicate Tumah on a Torah level. However, it's not a fair description of food communicating tumah, because once you designated this kupas sa'or as a chair, you are stripping it of its food status. The Gemara says this using the term kishishimesh, as the sourdough is functioning, maisa eitz shimesh, it's functioning as a non-food. And as we said, it loses its food status, and hence the tumah that it communicates can very well be considered a doraisa level tumah, and yet not violating the principle that food does not communicate tumah chamura. Omar Abaye, we see this same thing happening again. In fact, as far as the names are concerned, this and the third case as well, Abaye introduces. We'll see the fourth and fifth case, you already have other Rabbonim introducing those issues. But here, the second one, Omar Abaye, Harei Omru, Tikrovas Avodas Kechavim Shel Oichlin, Mitamin Be'ohel. In general, something that is of an idolatrous nature is capable of causing tumah, if it's in the tama a person, if the, let us say, the idol or an offering made to an idol are under the same overhang, the same ceiling, the same roof, the same covering, tumas ohel, as we refer to it. We also know that food offered to an idol creates tumah. So the Abaye points out, Tumah Solav Doraisa. The Tumah that this Tekroivis offering to an idol is not of a Torah level. The E Sakadaitech Doraisa, if you were to think that the person who becomes Tumai by virtue of being in the same room as this idolatrous offering were a Torah level Tumah, Motsimu La'uchlan Shemitamin Tumah Chamura. It would then be an example of food causing tumah chamura, being matamat person, and as we indicated earlier, based on gzeras hakosuf, that cannot be. Food is described as something that is not matamat tumah chamura. So the Gemara says, not so. We don't have to say that this is an illustration of food communicating the tumah, because once it's offered as an offering to an idol, it not only it becomes Isur Hano also to benefit from, but as such it loses its tuma state, it loses its food status, as we just indicated, as being an example of something that's forbidden to benefit from, it no longer has a food identity. The Gemara says, "Kishishimesh, Maisa eats shimesh." As it was offered to an idol, it loses its food identity, and as such, it's not an example of food creating tumah chamura. Omar Abaye, Hare Omru, Chiburei Oichlin Kekelim Damu. Imagine you have a bowl in which you knead dough. The bowl develops cracks, and dough fills the cracks and holds the bowl together. Once the dough dries, it becomes a type of hard glue, and it can hold this vessel as one, in one piece. Let us say that this vessel came into contact with, let us say, the dead. A piece of mace touched the dough in the cracks. We say that the bowl now becomes tome, tumas mace, and the bowl could matama a person. Now the point of contact between the mace and the bowl was at the dough that is sealing the cracks of this bowl. We say that this bowl then could be matama a person. The bowl would become an avatuma if it comes into contact with a piece of corpse meat. And a person who touches that will become tome. So Abaye wants to tell us that the tuma that this person absorbs as a result of this story and its chain of events must be a non-Torah level tuma. The Isakadaitoch Doraisa, if one were to think that the bowl, in this case, communicates tuma on a Torah level to the person who touches it, we would then have an example of ochel, in this case the dough that sealed the cracks, being responsible for a person becoming tome, and we know that food does not communicate tuma chamura. The Gemara rejects this by saying once again that really the tuma communicated here is a Torah level tuma, and as far as your problem with food being responsible, kishishimesh maisa eitz shimesh, the function of the dough here was not as a food item; it lost its food identity and functioned rather as a piece of wood, as a non-food item. Hence, there's no problem in seeing that the person becomes tamei on a Torah level. Omar Abaye, Omar le Rav Popa le Rova, Ha Desanya. We have the following source. There's another girsa that says Desnan because it's a Mishnah as opposed to a Braisa in Maseches Uksin. Chelev Nevela Bekforim Tzorich Machshava Vehechsher. Chelev Nevela. Chelev, which is found inside a Behema Tahora. Let us say one slaughtered a kosher variety animal. Let us correct ourselves. A person didn't slaughter, it died without receiving slaughtering. A kosher variety animal. The meat of a nevela is mitame, tumas nevela. The chelev found inside is, we tell you, is something that is doesn't have nevela status. That is what is meant in this source when we speak about the chelev in Kfarim. Kfarim were towns or hamlets of limited population. As far as animals that were found in Kfarim, people would eat the meat and not the chelev. The chelev wasn't viewed as a food item in Kfarim. However, if it's intended to be used as food, so one would have to have such an intent, and it would also have to receive hechsher, meaning it would have to be exposed to some water or other special liquid that's capable of imparting hechsher. Hechsher is a function of readying food for absorbing tuma. Now, let us say that a person came into contact with a kulia of an avela. Kulia is a kidney, and it's surrounded by chelev. We know that if a person handles or touches a kulia of an avela, that is considered nevela meat, and it imparts tuma. Let us say a person touched the kulia with its surrounding chelev. We say that the person becomes tomei. The Gemara says, "Tum osoi agav kulya lav doiraisa." That which a person becomes tomei through mago nevela, contact with nevela, in the case of touching a kulya surrounded by its chelev, this person, we're going to have to say, is not tomei midoraisa. The isalka daitoch doraisa, if one were to think that his tumas nevela is of a Torah level, motzinu la'oichel shemetame tuma chamura, it would then show us that food, like the chelev, is capable of imparting tuma to a person, which we refer to as tuma chamura. The Gemara answers that this is not an example of food, because the chelev in its role of surrounding, or its capacity as of surrounding the kulya, it is functioning as a shomer, as a shell, as a peel. Shomer le'ochel. This concept of shomer le'ochel we find even by bones. Bones that contain marrow. Bones are not mitama, they're not considered food, but yet tuma can be communicated if one were to have contact with a bone that surrounds marrow, if it's from a nevela, for example. So you can see that when something is serving, even if it may appear to be a food item, but it's functioning as a shell around something else, in this case the chelev is serving as a shell, as a shomer of the kulya, it's really the kulya that is responsible for the tuma of the individual. And when you have nevela surrounded by a shell, by a shomer, that conducts the tuma to the person. So once again, it's not the chelev per se that is causing this person to become tomei. We should just point out that the source that we find in the frame, starting a few lines up, chelev nevela bikrom, this was brought into the Gemara to demonstrate that chelev itself is not considered nevela unless it has, it's not considered food unless you have machshav and hechsher. The purpose of bringing that source was to show us that the chelev could achieve food status. So that, imagine in a kfar where they intended to eat the chelev of that animal, and you touched the kulya of a nvela in a kfar, the thought was that you're touching the food, the nevela that they, the chilev surrounding the kulia that they intended to eat, giving it food status, we end up saying the contact with that kulia surrounded by the chilev in that case was functioning as a shomer, and as such it wasn't viewed as food per se, and hence the tumah that was communicated was a tumah that was communicated as a result of the kulya being encased in that chelev. Omar Rav Matona, Hare Omru, Bayis Shesochecho Bezroyim Tiharo. If there was a structure that didn't have a roof on it, and a person took food, could be plants like stalks of wheat, and covered the roof with these plants that were made of food, as we indicated, stalks of wheat, for example, and the house developed saras, means one of the walls started to appear discolored as a result of an outbreak of saras. Saras is something that, when it appears in a house, communicates tumah to anyone that walks into the house. So we're describing a house that's roofed with food items, in effect. And we also are assuming that if tsaras develops, a person who walks in there will become tomei through tumas ohel. What Rav Matona wants to argue is that the tumah that a person experiences there is not a Torah-level tumah, because if it were, once again, we would have an example of food being responsible, the food creating the roof, creating the oihel, being responsible for a person becoming tomei. So that which we know the person becomes tomei, fine, but Rav Matona wants to tell us that it won't be on a Torah level. The Gemara, Omar Rav Matona, Hare Omru, Bayis Shesochechoi Bizroyim. The word sachacho might be familiar to many of you from the word schach, a covering. A house that was roofed with zroyim, with seeds, literally seeds, means for our purposes branches that have food on it, that contain food. Tiharo, you have, the tiharo means it loses, its food status is canceled, thereby becoming a roof, and capable of imparting tumah in the event that the house becomes tomei tumas botim, or from nigei botim. Well, tumaso lav d'oraisa, the tumah that the person will experience in such a case will not be on a Torah level. The isalka daitach d'oraisa, if one were to think that the tumas tsaras there, of the bias menuga, is a Torah level tuma that the person is experiencing, it would then turn out that we have food that's responsible for a person becoming tamei. The Gemara rejects this by saying the zroyim, in their capacity as a roof, are not viewed as food anymore. Kishishimesh maisa eitz shimesh. It serves as nothing more than a piece of wood, as opposed to a food item, and hence the tumah in that case could very well be a tumas nigei botim that is metame ba'oyel on a Torah level, without our violating the rule that food is not metame tumah chamura. Let us now glance at the outside margin before we continue in the Gemara, the topic heading that we've assigned to this piece of Gemara. No say, Lahazbir divrei Rabbi Shimon b'soifa Mishnah, dekotoni Rabbi Shimon mitaher. At the end of our Mishnah that appeared on Kuf Chof Zayin, we find the expression Rabbi Shimon mitaher. The Mishnah, just to remind ourselves, dealt with a behemoth, an animal that had dangling, either a dangling limb or dangling flesh from it. What we've done for your convenience is, on the side of the Gemara, you'll notice there's a star, and in the margin you can see a reference to Mishnah Kuf Chav Zayin Omer Aleph, Kuf Chav Zayin Omer Beis, Mishnah starts at the bottom of Kuf Chav Zayin Aleph and extends to Omid Beis. We have written or excerpted a part of the Mishnah on the side, and just to get back into the topic a bit, let's read what we've written. Ho'ever v'abosor hamidudon v'behema, a limb or flesh dangling from an animal. Then we're skipping to the Seifa, and we've indicated that with the three dots, and written now Seifa, the end of the Mishnah reads, Meso HaBehema, the animal with these danglings dropped dead, as opposed to being slaughtered. HaBosor Tzorech Hechsher, the meat that's dangling from this animal is not considered Nevela, and we can see that by virtue of the fact that we're saying it needs Hechsher, it needs to be exposed to some kind of liquid in order for it to be susceptible for absorbing tumah, which is, this procedure is characteristic of a food item. The explanation for that would be that in its death, misa oisa nipul, the death causes the danglings to fall off a moment before the actual death, hence it's not considered legally attached to the animal, which itself is a nevela. However, mitame mishum aver menachai, veinu mitame mishum aver nevela. And likewise, the limb that was dangling is viewed as a limb detached from a living animal called aver. And we call that aver menachai, and it's not treated as a limb of a nevela. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Okay, that's Rabbi Meir's analysis. Rabbi Shimon mitaher, and Rabbi Shimon declares things to be tahor. Now, this expression, Rabbi Shimon mitaher, is not clear. The Gemara, Rabbi Shimon mitaher, that's the quote from the Mishnah, monafshach, we don't understand this. Monafshach means, either way you look at it, there should be tumah. Im misa oisa nipol, if you consider death as being the cause of detachment, namely a moment before the actual departure of life, dangling elements fall off, then litame mishum aver menachai, the limbs that were dangling from this animal that dropped dead should communicate tuma all the same as being an aver menachai, and limbs from living animals, aver menachai, do communicate tuma. E ein misa oisa nipol, if you say that the life departure does not cause detachment, then litame mishum aver min hanavela, then this dangling limb is considered fully attached to the animal that just died, and it should have nevela status. Why does Rabbi Shimon mitaher? In order to answer this question, we have several stages of Gemara. You'll notice on the side of the Gemara we have featured a diamond with the colored in tip. The diamond highlights the words Reisha, Metziyosa, Seifa, the different parts of the Mishnah, the beginning, the middle, the end. And this represents here Efshorios, Shoinois, Amai, Koi, Reb Shimon, different possibilities as to what Reb Shimon's comment is going on. What's he commenting on? At this point in the Gemara, it seems very unlikely that he is a comment on the material that immediately preceded this phrase, as the Gemara itself just asked, if he were attached to the phrase preceding him, there should be tuma either as aver menachai or aver nevela. Therefore, it is apparently such that Rabbi Shimon mitaher, the phrase Shimon mitaher, is referring to something else. We will be using an additional marking in the sugya, a house marking, to highlight the expression Omar Kraw. And we've written here, Nisyonos Lahasbir Ma Bo HaPosuk Mikola Oichel. There's a posuk that's quoted each stage of the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan quotes a posuk as an explanation for Rabbi Shimon, the posuk Mikola Oichel Asher Yeh Ochel. And we will be trying to understand what that posuk is coming to teach us. That will be illustrated as we go along in the Gemara. So that, just once again, what we will be trying to do here is find out what the phrase Reb Shimon mitaher is going on. Is it going on the Reisha? And if it is, then the Gemara will ask, well, what's the reason for whatever he says? Reb Yochanan will explain it by suggesting the Pasuk is the explanation. But each time, the Gemara will reject the approach and move on to a new approach. Hence, we have our diamonds in place to show us the stages of development. Turning back to the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon Areshakoi. This is stage one, or approach number one. We've also indicated this with numbers in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. And this numbering continues down on the base. So this first stage suggests Rabbi Shimon is going on the Reshan. The Gemara will quote the relevant sections of the Mishnah as the Gemara goes along. So here we have a quote of the Resha, and then attaching Rabbi Shimon Matayer to that respective quote. The source of our Mishnah reads, Ho'ever v'abosur hamedoldolin b'vehema mitame tumas ochlin b'makomon v'tzrichin hechsher. Dangling limbs and meat attached to a living animal are capable of communicating tumas ochlin as where they are. In other words, they're dangling from a living animal. They, even though a living animal itself is not mitama whatsoever, it's not mitama tumas ochlin, if you have this, let's say, dangling piece of flesh and it becomes wet, it receives hechsher, and let us say then a sheretz were to touch this, the sheretz, the dead sheretz, would cause this dangling flap of meat to become tameh, and that dangling flap of meat would be able to mitama another piece of food. Rabbi Shimon mitahir. Rabbi Shimon says that dangling flap of meat will not communicate tumas ochlin. And really, that's what we want to emphasize in our discussion. Rabbi Shimon mitahir, that scenario. That would be a scenario described by the Reisha. Omar Rav Asi, Omar Rav Yochanan, my time under Rabbi Shimon. What would be the source of that teaching, if it should turn out to be correct? What would be the source that Rabbi Shimon is metahir, a limb that is dangling from a living animal? Omar Kro, the Pasuk says, the Pasuk that deals with Tumas Ochlin says, Mikol Ochel She'ochel. And we darshan this pasuk as follows: Oichel shato yochel achilu lacherim kori oichel, food that you could serve to others. For example, to serve even to a Gentile, that is called food. Oichel shi'ato yochel achilu lacherim, something that you could not offer to a Gentile. Ein kori oichel. Now, aver minachai, in other words, this dangling limb is forbidden for a Gentile to eat. If you were to rip it off and give it to the Gentile, he's not allowed to eat that. So you can't be machil achirim, and therefore it's not called ochel. And as a result of that, there is no tumas ochel. That's why Rabbi Shimon says, that's why the Mishnah says, Rabbi Shimon mitahir. Omale Rabbi Zera le Rabbi Asi. Dilma, taimo to Rabbi Shimon hasam, hoil umaura maura. Maybe the reason for Rabbi Shimon declaring it Tohor isn't because of what the Pasuk suggests, but rather because it's still attached. That's what Me'ura means. And for this, I don't need a Pasuk, but rather, Reb Shimon views the attachment, even though it's attached by a simple strand, that nevertheless is considered an attachment, and it's therefore part of a living animal. It's part of something that is not tomei. Once again, not by virtue of the pasuk, but by virtue of the fact that it's part of an entity that's not mekabel tuma. Disnan, we find a precedent for this approach to things. Yichur shel te'ena shenifshach, a branch from a te'ena, from a fig tree that cracked or split off the main tree, umura beklipa, but still attached through its bark. Now this branch has figs growing on it. Rabbi Yehuda metahir. We've dashed underlined metahir because we want to focus on this opinion for right now. Rabbi Yehuda declares that the figs on this branch are not mekabel tuma. They're considered, well, we'll come back to that in a minute. If it can continue living, if this branch could continue living, then the figs on it are viewed as tahor, and if not, then it's viewed as detached, and hence able to be mekabel tuma. V'amrinon loch, my taimo the Rebbe Yehuda, and we asked you, Rabbi Zeiro says to Rav Asi, we asked you, what's the reason for Yehuda declaring it tahor? V'amrislon, and you answered us, hayul me'ura me'ura, since it's attached. It's attached. Since it's attached through the bark, that's sufficient for calling it attached. So, the same thing with regard to Shitas Rabbi Shimon and the dangling limb. Therefore, the use of the pasuk to explain Rabbi Shimon as a comment on the ratio would be out of place. Therefore, our question right now is, the use of that pasuk, which said Mikol Oichal Sheyochel, and the drosha of Oichal Sheata Yochel Achil Acherim is called Oichal. What is that pasuk used for? So, this brings us to the second stage, Amitziosa. It must be that I need the pasuk for that which is taught in the Mishnah, in the middle section of the Mishnah, and as will be seen right now. Nishchato ha-behema. Remember, we have a behema with dangling limbs. Huchshura b'dameha. The aver ha-meduldol becomes muchshar to absorb tumah through the fact that there is shchita blood. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon Omer lo huchshuru. Rabbi Shimon says it does not become muchshar. In other words, the slaughtering and the resultant blood does not cause the dangling limb to become muchshar. Om Rabbi Yochanan, my time with Rabbi Shimon. What is the reason for Rabbi Shimon saying that it does not become muchshar? Om Akra, the pasuk when it dealing with Tumas Ochlin says Mikol Oichal Sheyochel, Oichal Sheyochel Achilu Achirim Korui Oichel. Food that you could serve to others, you could serve to a Gentile, is considered Oichel. However, Oichel she'ein ato yochol lachilo lachirim, something that you cannot serve to others, that you can serve to a Gentile, ein korui ochel, is not called ochel. And we are dealing in this Mishnah with a dangling limb. And as such, it's something that is not allowed to be eaten. It has a quasi aver min achai status. An aver min achai is something that is forbidden for goyim as well to eat. So we see the role of the pasuk of mikola oichal sheyochel could be used to explain Rabbi Shimon in the mitziosa section of the Mishnah, the middle part of the Mishnah. The Gemara, again, and here you can see how with our markings we're emphasizing the repeat style of the Gemara. This squiggle underline under Vidilma is similar to the Vidilma that was squiggle underline on the second line from the top. Vidilma, taima de Rabbi Shimon, behahi, it could be that the reason for Rabbi Shimon saying it's not huchshar is I kidarabo, I kidarab Yochanan. There were a list of reasons given in the Gemara for Shitas Rabbi Shimon in back on that previous sugya that dealt with the Mitziasa, and the reason for the non-hechsher is for any other variety of reasons as were mentioned by Rabba or Rabbi Yochanan back there in the Gemara. But those reasons were not based on the Pasuk. In other words, I don't need to use the Pasuk to explain Rabbi Shimon's comment here of Lo Huchshuru. I can rely on the Hezberim, on the explanations given by others over there. Elali Oilom Asefa. The comment of Rabbi Shimon Metahir and the citation of the Pasuk on the part of Rabbi Yochanan to explain Rabbi Shimon's position, this is relevant to, in fact, the Seifa of the Mishnah. This is the way we began the sugya, but when we began the sugya, we ran into a difficulty thinking that Rabbi Shimon couldn't possibly be metahir in that case. So we have to do a little re-explanation of what we mean when we say Rabbi Shimon is going on the Seifa. So the Gemara continues and says, Eloli oilom a Seifa velav a Aver ela abosar. The Seifa of the Mishnah described an animal with dangling limbs and or dangling flesh. The comment of Rav Shimon Metahir is not going on the case of the dangling limb, because as we said earlier, the dangling limb will be declared tome mimanavshach, either as aver of an avela or aver of aver min achai. However, we are going to be focusing on the dangling flesh. Mesa habehema. We mentioned that we're referring Reb Shimon to the, in fact, to the seifa, and not on the aver lava aver la boser, as it says mesa habehema haboser tzorach hechsher. Reb Shimon metaher. The Tanakhama says that in the case that the animal died with dangling flesh, the flesh, in order for it to mekabel tuma or to be metame, would have to have hechsher. Rabbi Shimon says that it's not going to become tomei. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, my time at Rabbi Shimon, what's the basis of Rabbi Shimon? Omar Kro, Mikola Oichel Asher Yeochel. Oichel Shatei Yochel Achil Achirem Kori Oichel. Food that you could serve others is called food. Now, Bosor Min Achai is something that is forbidden to eat. And therefore, it is osir. It's therefore classified as oichel shei ato yochel achil acherim. Ein kori ochel. It's not called ochel, and therefore hechsher isn't going to make any difference to it. Now, as far as tuma is concerned, bosar min hachai is not mitame. This is in opposition or in contrast with Aver Minachai. Therefore, it was important for us in this final stage of the Gemara to say that Reb Shimon Tyre is going only on the case of the dangling meat and not the dangling bone, the dangling limb, because the dangling limb, everyone would agree, is Mitama. The Mishnah. Before learning the Mishnah, let us just glance at the side of the Gemara. We have a Nosei heading, Aver Boser Hamedudolin Ba'odam. We will be talking about a human being that happens to have meat or flesh or a limb dangling from him. The Mishnah. Ha'aver V'haboser Hamedudolin Ba'odam Tahorim. We're talking about a living person. If he has limbs or flesh that are practically falling off, they're just attached by a thread, they're not considered aver minahai, and therefore they're not mitame. Rashi adds at the beginning of his commentary on the Mishnah, Hamadon Balam Torim, the Chiyomus Ksiv, the Posik in talking about the tumah that a person communicates as in the case of death, that's when actual death sets in, as it says, kiyomus. And as long as he is alive, his life prevents the dangling limbs from imparting tumah. The Gemara continues, the Mishnah continues, mace ha'adam, this person with the dangling limbs, when he dies, Habosor tohor, the flesh that is on him but dangling is not mitame, and that's because misa oisenipol, misa, death, the departure of the life breath from this person, causes that which was dangling from him to be detached a moment before the departure of life breath, before the moment before death. That's called misa oisenipol. And as a result of that, it's like a piece of meat that got, let's say, cut off a living person. That is not mitame. However, mitame, the limb, however, even though it becomes detached from a living person, It's metame mishum eber min achai, v'eino metame mishum eber min ames, divrei Rabbi Meir. The truth is, in an unfortunate circumstance of a, let's say, a limb amputation, that limb is metame, and this has practical bearing on halacha to this very day, where a kohen who is forbidden to be exposed to tumas mace, an amputated limb is something, or a detached limb, it could happen in lo aleinu, a car accident or an industrial catastrophe, where limbs become detached. Those limbs, even though the person himself remains alive, but the limb severed from his body communicates tumas mace, which is called tuma as a result of Eivor Min Achai. Rabbi Shimon Metaher. And once again, as in our previous sugya, we are amazed. What is Rabbi Shimon Metaher a reference to? Rabbi Shimon Monafshav. Well, so regarding Rabbi Shimon, either way you look at things, it's hard to understand why he would declare Tara, e miso isenipul, if death causes detachment, letame mishum evri minachai, the limb that is dangling from this individual should be metame no less than an amputated limb is metame. The ein miso isenipul, if death does not cause detachment, then letame mishum evri minames, then it's simply another limb attached to a dead body, and that is considered tumas mase, straight out tumas mase. Before going any further in the Gemara, we offer a title to this sugya, which has already become obvious. On the side, we have written, Birur Ahei Koi Ha Dekotoni Rav Shimon Metaher. We're trying to clarify what this comment of Rav Shimon Metaher is going on. In this case, the Gemara will present itself in two stages. We've indicated this with a number 1 to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and you'll see a second stage at the bottom of the Omid. The Gemara answers. If you're asking what is Rav Shimon Metaher going on, Rav Shimon Ba'al Mokoi. Rav Shimon is a comment of a general nature. Dekaomar Tanakama Ha'ever Metame Mishum Ever Menachai V'ein Metame Mishum Ever Menames. The Tanakama made mention of the dangling limb as communicating Tumas Eivor Min Achai and not viewed as a limb of a corpse. And that is a function of the concept of Misa Oisenipol. Almo Eivor Hames Ba'alma Metame. We can observe from this comment of the Tanakama that the limb of a dead individual, let us say a person died with without any dangling limbs, a full human being. And full human being has limbs. Let us say after his death, a limb was detached. So the Tanakama certainly is communicating the idea that the limb that's removed from a dead body is metame. There is a major piece of information that we haven't included that we're going to say right now. When we talk about the Tanakama's opinion of Eivor Min Hames communicating Tuma, his intent is a limb which may be made of, let's say, skin and bone alone, without any flesh. But the Tanakama is willing to term that Eivor Min Hames. The Omar Le Rabbi Shimon, Eivor Hames Ba'alma Lo Metame. Rabbi Shimon says that such a limb, a human limb made of bone and skin, but no flesh on it, would not be Metame. Rabbi Shimon is trying to say that only if there is a Kezias Bosar on this limb, an olive quantity of human corpse meat that's attached to this particular limb, then there would be tumah, and the tumah in that case would be tumah as a result of the basar, of the corpse meat, corpse flesh, being responsible for the tumah. So Rabbi Shimon is arguing with the Tanakama in the case of a limb from a corpse that has no flesh on it. Dasanya, we bring a Tanaic source in which a discussion between two other Tanoim takes place. One of the two, Rabbi Elezer in this case, will be taking the side that represents what Reb Shimon is trying to say. Dasanya, Omar Reb Elezer, Shomati She'ever Menachai Mitama. Reb Elezer says, I have a tradition that the limb removed from a living person is mitama. An amputated limb, for example, is mitama. Omar lo Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua, upon hearing Rabbi Elezer, infers that Rabbi Elezer is trying to say that only if it's a limb removed from a living person, as opposed to a limb removed from a dead person. And this raises a source of amazement to Rabbi Yeshua. Omar lo Rabbi Yeshua, min hachai velo min ameis. Could it be that you're saying that only if it's a limb from a living person that it communicates tumo, and not from a dead person? The kal v'chomer. But kal v'chomer logic would indicate otherwise. Uma chai shehu tor, ever haporish menu tome. Mind you, someone that's alive. So, as such, he's tahor, he's not dead. And yet, a limb removed from such a person is tomei, meis, shehu tomei, a corpse which is a source of tumah, lo kol shekein, then certainly the limb removed from a meis will metame. And as far as the fact that you have a Kabbalah, a tradition regarding Avram and Ahai, that doesn't mean that you are to infer something to the contrary with regard to a mace. And to illustrate that lack of need to make such an inference, we turn to the following, Kosuv Megillas Tainus. It says in Megillas Tainus, Megillas Tainus is a source that lists days of the Jewish calendar in which one is not to fast or to eulogize. And it says in this source called Megillas Tainus, Pischa Zira Delola Mispad. Pischa, it means Pesach, Zira, literally, the little one, will more accurately refer to this as Pesach Sheni, the 14th of the month of Iyar. The 14th of the month of Iyar is a day that for those who did not offer the Korban Pesach at its right time, meaning on the 14th of Nisan, they have an option, without getting into all of the details, there's an option to offer the Korban Pesach on the 14th of Iyar. That date, 14th of Iyar, it says in Megillas Tainus, the Lola Mispad, one is not allowed to eulogize on that day. Now, would you infer Ha Rabba Lemispad? Would you infer that on Pesach Rabba, the great Pesach, meaning the official day of Pesach, Yud Dalid Nisan, you would be able to eulogize? Well, of course not. Ela Kol Dekein. Rather, you would say, if on Pesach Sheni you're not allowed to eulogize, then certainly on Pesach Rishon you're not allowed to eulogize. So just like in Megillas Tainus, even though Pesach Sheni is featured, it's not there as an inference regarding Pesach Rishon to an inference to the contrary, but rather there is a Kal V'chomer or Kol Shekein that one would conclude from this statement. Hochonami, so too with regard to your tradition that Eber min Achai is Metameh, well, Kol Shekein Eber min Hameis. Up till that point is Rabbi Yeshua's argument. Omale, Rabbi Elezer responds, Kach Shomati. He says, no, I heard that only Eber min Achai is Metameh, and not Eber min Hameis. And as we said, the reference to Eber min Hameis is a limb that does not have any flesh on it. As we just as we explained, Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara now asks a question that reflects back on the Mishnah, where the comment was made that the person with the dangling limb who died, his limb is mitam as Aver min achai and not as Aver min hames. Umay ika bein Aver min achai le Aver min hames. What legal difference is there between classifying something as Aver min achai versus Aver min hames? Answer: Kezayas basar ve'etzem kisora ha'poresh me'aver min achai ika binayu. The point of difference will be a kezayas, an olive quantity of meat or flesh, or bone the size of a barley that gets separated from aver min achai will be the point of difference. Disnan. This is illustrated in the following Tanaic source: Kezayas basar ha'poresh me'aver min achai. An olive quantity of flesh that gets separated from an aver, from a limb that was amputated from a living person. Rabbi Elezer mitame, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona, Rabbi Yeshua mitaren. We want to focus on the opinion of mitaren. Hence, you can see we've dashed underlined this. The opinion that says Torah is telling us that a kezayas boser that gets separated from an aver min achai is not mitame. This is in contrast with a kezayas of boser that got detached from an aver min hames that would be mitame. So that would answer, in the meantime, our question of what's the difference between aver min achai and aver min hames. The difference is manifest in that which gets detached from either one of those. Likewise, the source goes on, Etzem kisora porish me'aver min achai, and a bone the size of a barley grain that gets separated from an amputated limb, Rabbi Nechunya mitama, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua mitarin. There's a sort of a type of musical chairs that takes place here with regard to the shitas, but if we focus for the sake of simplicity on Rabbi Yeshua in both cases will be mitaher. In both cases, namely Etzem Kisora and Kezayas Boser that gets separated from an Aver min achai, Rabbi Yeshua mitaher in both cases. Hashto de'osis lahachi. Now that we've come to this point, that we've made mention of Etzem Kisora and Bosar Haporesh, now that we've come to this point, Bein Tanakamo l'Rebbe Shimon Nami. As far as a point of argument between the Tanakama and Rebbe Shimon, up till this point, we had explained Rebbe Shimon Mitahir in the Mishnah as a comment on Aver Min Hames in general. But with this new information, we can say that they are arguing about something else. Namely, as far as the Tanakhama and Rebbe Shimon, they will be in agreement regarding Aver Min Hames, that it's Mitame. So then what is Rabbi Shimon Mitayer going on? He is going on the case of Kezayas Boser Ve'etzem Kisora that get removed from the limb. Reading the Gemara again, Kezayas Boser Ve'etzem Kisora Ika Binayhu. Let us glance at the Rashi. Hashto Dosis Lochin. The Rashi that we're looking at is six lines from the bottom. Now that we've come to this point, the adkarton etzem kisora boser aporesh, that we've adkarton means we've made mention of the bone size of barley grain and flesh that got detached. Me'ashto emaloch Rabbi Shimon lave v'min ames polig. Rabbi Shimon is not coming to argue with regard to the limb from a dead person. Elo bein tanakam Rabbi Shimon masnisin nami kezayas boser ve'etzem kisora ikubinayu. Just like we saw a machlokas tanoim between Rabbi Yeshua and the other tanoim, so too between the Hanukkah and Rabbi Shimon, they will be arguing concerning these examples. The kzayis boser etzim kesora, b'ha pligi im aver min achai cholok me'aver min hames b'shtan o ba'achas mehen. Is aver min achai distinguished from aver min hames regarding both Kzayis Bosrin and Etzim Kesorah, or with regard to one of them. The Latana Kamo Eino Cholok Ela Ba'achas Mehem. As far as the Tana Kamo in our Mishnah, he will say that Evim Mechai, Evim Meis are different only with regard to one of those two examples. Tana Kamo Sovar, the Tana Kamo will take up the opinion E. Kuribelezer. He might take up Erbelezer. We have a little diamond emphasizing this possibility. On the next line, you see another diamond, E. Kuribi Nechunya. Both Erbelezer and Nechunya said that with regard to one of these examples, there is a difference between Abram and Achai and Abram and Ameis. Let's continue in the Rashi. Ik Rebbe Lezer, the Tanakama might assume Rebbe Lezer's opinion. Demetame bebosar haporish meabram and Achai ubeetim v'sor haporish menu metahir. Ik Rebbe Nechunya diomer ibcha. Or Tanakama might assume Rebbe Nechunya's opinion that says that etzem kisaora is metame and bosar haporish from Abram and Achai is mitame. If we say that etzem kisor is mitame, so that bosar would be tohar. V'hochi ka'omar ha'ever tome mishum ever minachai, and thusly it would be taught in our Mishnah that the ever has an ever minachai status, bosar aperish minu tome v'etzem tohar k'rib lezer. And as a result of having Abram in a high status, the flesh that gets separated from it is metama, but the bone not. Like Rebbe Lezer, or the opposite, that the bone that gets separated from Abram in a high is a source of tuma and not the flesh. Like Rebbe Nechunya, v'lo mishum Abram in a meis. And the Tanakhama would be telling you that the limb that's dangling from a person does not have Abram and Ames status. Because if it did, then both bone and flesh that gets separated from it would be metame. Rabbi Shimon metahir bein be'etzem bein be'bosar haporesh mimenu. And Rabbi Shimon would take up the opinion that says whether it be etzem or bosar that gets separated from it, they would be tahor. The Savar Rabbi Yeshua, the Metayer B'Shneim, because Rabbi Shimon, who said in our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon, we saw Metayer, takes up Rabbi Yeshua's position. Aval Eber Atzmo, Hachinami the Metama, the Rabbi Shimon. But as far as a complete limb from a mace, Rabbi Shimon would agree that it's Metame. So as we saw, according to the second stage of the Gemara, the argument between Tanakamo and Rabbi Shimon is in how to view that which gets separated from an Eber Minachai. With that, we conclude not only the Perek, but our Shir for today.